Blog Talk Radio.
Come true.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. And I do have to watch out for that mute button because I was just talking and you never heard a thing from me. All right, we can give me center our mind, center in our thoughts, getting ready to bring in our queen, Arlene. Good morning, queen.
Good morning, good morning. And good morning, Love Journey family. So we are going to go ahead and get started. And I want everybody to take three cleansing breaths. Go ahead and inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. One more time. Inhale. And then exhale. Now, in your mind's eye, I want you to see a golden beam of light that comes from the source of creation. And this golden beam of light is permeating the crown of your head in everywhere this light touches, brings every cell in your body, every place that it touches, in complete alignment with the source of creation. It brings every cell in alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel it inside of your head, this golden beam light. And everywhere this light touches, brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Here we go, behind your head, inside, now down your face, this golden beam of light. In everywhere this light touches, brings you and every cell in your body into complete alignment with the source of creation. You are in complete alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel it go down your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your chest, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches, transforms every cell in your body, every energetic of yourself, into complete alignment with the source of creation. You are being brought into alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. You will go down your arms, down your torso, this golden beam of light. Inside and out, feel it go through your organs, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches, brings every cell, every energetic aspect of yourself into complete alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Every cell is transformed into wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel this golden beam of light go down your fingertips, down your hips, your thighs, this golden beam of light, and every energetic aspect of yourself, cellular, non-local, energetic, is brought into complete alignment with the source of creation, in complete alignment with wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel it go down your thighs and your knees, this golden beam of light. and everywhere this light touches, brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. Feeling good on your calves, your legs, your feet, through the soles of your feet, and that golden beam of light go down to the center of the earth. See it go down to the earth's layers. Allow yourself to stay here for the moment. Feel God's love for you. Feel God's joy in creating you. Allow yourself to see yourself the way Source sees you. Whole, perfect, complete, lovable, a divine inspiration. Now see that energy come from the center of the earth and make its way back to you through the earth's layers. And build a new life. You have come up to the source of your feet. In every energetic aspect of yourself, physical and non-physical, is transformed into wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Allow yourself to feel every energetic aspect of yourself be brought into alignment and transformed into goals, purposes, and completeness. Your energetic self is being rewritten into goals, purposes, and completeness. Anything that's not in alignment with that just falls away. Feel that golden beam of light make its way up your legs, your calves, your knees, your thighs, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches, transform every energetic aspect of yourself, physical and non-physical, into wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. You let go of your hips, with your fingertips, with your arms, your torso, your chest, this golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches, transforms every energetic aspect of yourself into wholeness, perfectness, and completeness. Feel it go up the chest, up the shoulders, your neck, your face, your head, that golden beam of light. And everywhere this light touches, transform every energetic aspect of yourself, physical or non-physical, and bring it into complete alignment with the source of creation. You see that golden beam of light go up to the crown of your head, allow yourself to stay here for a moment. Just feel God's love, God's joy, God's vision for yourself. Now, see that energetic light, that golden beam of light expand out through your aura, through all of your bioenergetic fields. Allow it to expand. Allow it to expand out to the consciousness of your communities. See it permeate out throughout the world, bringing the world into wholeness, purpose, and completeness. Father, Moon God, illuminate the divine I am that is within us. Let everyone within the sound of my voice see themselves as you see them, whole, perfect, and complete. Bring healing and wholeness to our minds, bodies, and spirits. Bring wholeness, perfectness, and completeness to our finances, our relationships, and all aspects of our lives that we feel that need improvement. Reveal to us what needs to be changed and released. Dissolve the fear, dissolve the doubt, dissolve the resistance, dissolve the feelings of undeservedness. Let us stand and feel the absolute knowing that all is well. All is well. Let us stand and feel your presence. Let the illumination of your grace fill us. Help us to release our expectations of what our lives should look like, because your dream for us is bigger than the one that we can have for ourselves. Help us to surrender and trust in you, God. Let us resonate with the wholeness, perfectness, and completeness of the I Am. And if there is anything within this prayer that has been left out, please take it out of our consciousness and put it onto thy altar seat and make it manifest to your divine will. And I say this through the consciousness of Christ. Ani, Ashe, and so it is.
Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Thank you, Queen Eileen. I surely appreciate that prayer and that meditation. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing your gift.
Thank you for letting me be of service.
If you see anything you want to share, let us know.
Yes, a week from this coming Thursday, Reverend Harvey and I will be having our show on One Love, One Connection, One Us. And then call-in number for that is area code 646. 929-0630. If anyone is interested in getting in contact with me, I do energetic healing where I cut cords, bring people's hard lines into alignment, things of that nature. If you want any more details about that, please call me at area code 973-885-6930. Again, that number is area code 973-885-6930, or you can reach me through Facebook. My name is Arlene Kahet, that's K-A-H-E-T, or you can get in contact with me through my website, which is www.healingparadigms.com. Again, that's healingparadigms.com.
All right, you tuned in. Good love, Johnny. Thank you so much. That was Queen Eileen Kahet doing the prayer and the meditation. Again, you tuned into the Love Journey. Thank you so much, Queen. We're going to get started with another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. All right, I'm going to start off with a song as I prepare because I'm just getting the computer up. So give me 5 minutes while I play this song. Donnie Pleasant, speak to my heart. On and on down. With Jeannie and England. good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey. Yes, they call this a prayer line, but I'll call it an experience and love experience. That was Donnie McClurk and Speak to Me, Oh Lord. I am Jenny Ann Ingram, and welcome to another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. And just so you know, we do The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous just to remind you that it's the simple things in life that we create that can make millions and millions of dollars. It's to remind us if they can do it, we can do it too. It's to remind us that the secret to living life fully played out is right here inside of us. So I just want to remind you, it's not about anything other than the mindset. And we're going to start off with listening to the mindset behind success, and then we're going to talk about the 10 weirdest things in life that created millions and millions of dollars on The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous, the mindset behind success.
What do you want out of life?
I don't know. To be happy?
To be happy.
I want the American dream. I want to be happy.
I am the only problem I will ever have, and I am the only solution. I am the only problem I will ever have, and I am the solution.
Well, I mean, positively and negative. I mean, you attract. No, you know, not just what you fear. You attract what you feel, what you are, what you attract.
Yeah,
what's
yeah,
on your mind? Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
exactly.
The law of physics. I don't know how anybody can disagree with that. Ask any physicist; they'll tell you that it's true.
I become what I think about all day long, and once you know that what you think about is what expands, you start getting real careful about what you think about. You don't allow your thoughts to be on anything that you don't want, or that you wouldn't want to have manifest or show up for you in your life.
You know, I believe in the law of attraction, and I believe that that you can speak things into existence. And I believe that when you know where you're going and you know what you want, the universe has a way of stepping aside for you.
You have to understand, you are a man.
It's our intention. Our intention is everything. Nothing happens on this planet without it. Not one single thing has ever been accomplished without intention.
Einstein's most famous quotes, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world. Logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere.
I think my imagination has always kept me going, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, just imagine myself collecting awards. Just imagine myself, you know what I mean, getting big parts. Imagine myself working with the greatest actors. Everybody can imagine themselves, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what, actually, yeah, I could see myself, you know, being an influencer in clothes, you know what I mean? Because I can make that happen. I can make that happen.
You got to understand something about like attracts like. If you see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand.
If you can see it here and you have the courage enough to speak it, it will happen.
You are a magnet. Whatever you are, that's what you draw to you. If you're negative, you're going to draw negativity. You're positive, you draw positive. You're a kind person, more people are kind to you.
This is the law of attraction, and you have to, in the struggle, you know, when things are going good and you visualize these good things happening, you visualize more good things happening, that's easy. What's not easy to do is when things are going bad and you're visualizing the good stuff.
That's what freezes people. When you're trying to figure out your life all the way to the end, when you can't figure it out, it freezes you from trying it because you go, oh, well, I can't figure that out. Oh, I can't go over there because I don't know how. You don't have to know how. You have to ask, believe, and receive.
Don't allow anybody else's opinions. Don't allow what it says on the internet. Don't allow the research. Don't allow what anybody out there tells you is possible or not possible for you. There are many ways to get the things that we want for ourselves in our lives. But basically, it all begins with how we choose to think.
I visualize, I'm sitting here on the steering wheel visualizing a brand new car, and visualizing good things in times of struggle. And that when you can do that, I think that really makes that law of attraction work. I think it really attracts to you more.
I very often watch a lot of young people sort of meander around without any idea about why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, to want and to be ambitious and to want to be successful is not enough.
Wow. Welcome to another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. They call me Miss Addicted to Success. I tell you, I love success. I love the taste, the smell, the idea of success. So we're going to talk about things, 10 things that people did to create success in their life insanely. If you analyze the list of the richest people in the world, you will see a lot of bankers, oil tycoons, real estate magnates, trust fund babies, and a whole slew of similar ideas, but very profitable career paths. But that doesn't mean you can't still get rich with a weird and creative idea. So we thought, on the Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous, that we would put together the research and fun things that people did to bring into their life insane fortunes, the weird ways. So hopefully these entrepreneurs will inspire you to come up with the next billion-dollar idea from scratch. And it was so many. I even wanted to tell you about a man who became a billionaire at the age of 80 thanks to the huge popularity of his sparkling water. It was so many things, so many people. We talked about the guy who started the circus, Guy Lila Bertie. You want to make a ton of money? Start practicing walking on stilts, eating fire, acrobats, and juggling, because you can make a ton of money if you join the circus. Actually, you can't just join the circus. You need to create your own, like Guy Lila Bertie was a homeless Canadian street performer when he started Cirque du Soleil to celebrate Canada's 450th anniversary. You see, this show was such a huge success that it began to tour the nation for sold-out crowds. Today, Cirque du Soleil is an enormously popular international sensation with over 4,000 employees in 40 countries and annual revenues of $800 million for his hard work and ingenuity. Guy Lila Bertie has been rewarded with a personal net worth of $1.8 billion just for creating a circus. What a weird idea. Now, let's talk about energy drinks. Over the last decade, energy drinks have grown into an over $10 billion annual hit industry. And if you happen to own one of the top brands, you're no doubt a very happy, very wealthy, and very energized person. But in the mid-90s, Austrian Dietrich Mateschitz bought the rights to a little-known Thai beverage company called Kraton Deng. Dietrich spent the next 20 years transforming that drink into what we know today as the Red Bull. And in the process of creating the Red Bull, a whopping $9.2 billion fortune for himself. Now, Dietrich also owns a Formula One racing team, two soccer clubs, and a private island in Paradise, Fiji. Ah, yes, yes, yes. just for creating Red Bull. Now, you practically cannot turn on the television nowadays without seeing a commercial for 5-Hour Energy. You might be surprised to learn that the founder, Manoj Bhagavi, is a former Indian monk. I'm talking about a monk, y'all. Bhagava is the founder of Living Essentials, which produces and distributes wildly successful 5-Hour Energy drinks. And today, 5-Hour Energy drinks sells over 10 million bottles a week. And Bhagava has earned himself a personal net worth of $1.3 billion. Wow. Have you ever thought about salsa? Not the dance, y'all. Not the dance. Christopher Goldsberry has made a lot of smart moves in his life. First, he married a woman whose father owned Pace Salsa Factory in 1967. And over a 20-year period, he rose from a lonely vegetable cutter on the production line to president of the company. And along the way, Goldsberry and his wife bought out the family shares and ran the company themselves until their divorce in 1987. Christopher paid his wife $95 million for her half of the business, which he then grew gangbusters over the next decade. In 1996, Goldsberry sold the privately owned Pace to Campbell Soup, netting himself a whopping $1.3 billion in net worth. You tuned in to the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. Now, this is my favorite because he is a Stanford professor. Now, we know in the country of America, teachers don't make a lot of money, right? Well, this Stanford professor, David Sherrington, certainly found a creative way to supplement his teaching salary. And over the years, Sherrington has made small investments in students' ideas that have become massive successes. His first hit was with a graduate student and future Sun Microsystems founder, Andy Bechtolsheim. Sherrington invested in Bechtolsheim's server technology idea, which eventually be acquired by Cisco Systems, making them both a nice profit. But did this professor, David Sherrington, stop there? Absolutely not. Sherrington's biggest hit didn't come until he wrote a $100,000 check to two young graduate students named Larry Page and Sergey Brin, who wanted to revolutionize the search engine. Now, you may not know Larry Page, and you may not know who Sergey Brin is, but the pair used the money to found what we know as Google. Have you heard of it? I'm sure you have. Today, David Sherrington's $100,000 investment is worth, guess what, y'all? $2.3 billion. You tuned in to the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. What a great idea. Now, have you ever thought about helping people get skinnier? Well, there are a lot of overweight people who are willing to spend tons and tons of money just to lose weight. So as Daniel Abraham was one of the first people to try and capitalize on America's expanding waistline, he released a series of failed products, including a waist loss gum, until he hit the jackpot with SlimFast, a line of low-carb shakes. And over the next 20 years, SlimFast grew into a consumer packaged good until the company was sold to Unilever for $2.3 billion in 2000. And when the deal was done, S. Daniel Abraham's net worth was $2.1 billion. Today, Abraham uses his fortune to promote peace in the Middle East and to improve nutrition in America. Wow. Now, number six, have you ever thought just helping people even look skinnier? Well, the idea of exercising, eating a balanced diet, and drinking a SlimFast shake once a day makes your stomach turn, then you're probably not going to lose weight. But don't worry, it's not hopeless. You can't seem to lose weight at the very least. You can make yourself appear skinnier through body shaping undergarments, or better yet, build the largest body shaping company in the world so you're rich enough to not care about being fat. That's exactly what Sarah Blakely did when she invented Spanx in 2000. Blakely started Spanx in her living room with a marketing book she bought at Barnes & Noble. Sales of Spanx were slow at first, but once she hit Oprah, and Oprah endorsed the Slimmy Pantyhose on her show, sales exploded. Sarah Blakely still owns 100% of Spanx and has a net worth of, okay, ladies. All right, any gentleman on the call, $1 billion impressive dollars. And Blakely hasn't let her newfound wealth go to her waist. No, she didn't. All right. People look cool when they exercise. So not long ago, looking cool while exercise was virtually impossible. Not only that, but the prevailing athletic clothing options were incredibly uncomfortable for anyone working out at a strenuous pace. And see, the fabrics were heavy, and it did not breathe. Everything changed with the inventions of two companies, Lululemon for women and Under Armour for men. You see, Lululemon's revolutionary tight black pants allow women the flexibility and the comfort while doing sports like yoga. It also made them look incredibly sexy while performing everyday errands. Today, the founder of Lululemon, Chip Wilson, is worth, all right, family, $2 billion. This is the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. But on the other side of the card, Kevin Plank was the self-described sweatiest guy on the football field. And thus, Under Armour Incorporated was born. Yes, Under Armour used a synthetic material that was 100 times more breathable than cotton. Like Spanx, sales struggled at first, but after Plank placed a $25,000 ad in ESPN magazine, let me say that again, as he took the risk to place a $25,000 ad in ESPN magazine, the company went on to generate over $1 million in revenue. And today, Under Armour is a public company with Plank still owning the majority of shares, giving him a net worth of $4 billion. Family, Reverend Ike said, doesn't take money to make money. It takes ideas, family. You tuned in to the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. Now, so many of us play with dolls. Just think about, do you have the next doll idea that can make you $1 million? Well, after a failed acting career and 20 years working at a toy company, Ty Warner quit and moved to Italy for a prolonged vacation. And while on vacation, he had an epiphany. Warner immediately returned to Michigan, where he mortgaged his house and launched Tie-In Inc. You may not have heard of Tie-In, but you probably heard of their most famous product line called the Beanie Babies. Some of you all might be too young, but the Beanie Babies, Warner turned out to be a brilliant marketer. He used limited production, secretive releases to build anticipation and create an excitement around this line of dolls. And Ty's formula worked very well. In 1995, at the peak of the Beanie Babies craze, Ty Inc. had profits of over $700 million. Now, Warner used these profits to build an empire, which today includes the Four Seasons Hotel in New York City, the Four Seasons in Santa Barbara, a luxury ranch in Montecito, and a resort in Hawaii. And today, Ty Warner's net worth is, all right, family, $2.4 billion. And it all started with a doll, just an idea called the Beanie Babies doll. You tuned in to the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. Now, have you ever thought about collecting cars, comic books? Isaac Perlmutter came to America from Israel in his early 20s with less than $250 to his name. Let me say that again. Came to America with less than $250 to his name. His first job was hanging out in Jewish cemeteries where he translated funeral services just for tips. But over the next 20 years, Perlmutter clawed his way up the world of wholesale trading. He formed a business that specialized in moving unsold merchandise for companies like Coleco Toys. He would pay pennies on the dollars for unwanted items. and then he would sell the goods at a small profit. But by the 90s, Isaac and a partner were able to purchase the bankrupt Marvel Enterprises for practically nothing. And as the CEO of Marvel Comics, Perlmutter completely revitalized the brand with a string of successful blockbuster movies, toys, and comics. By 2005, Marvel was sold to Disney in a deal that paid Perlmutter $800 million in cash, but wait, there's more, $600 million in Disney stock. And today, Isaac Perlmutter has a net worth of, family, $3.5 billion. Wow. So let's talk about a few other ideas. Lonnie Johnson, who happens to be a black man, African-American, is worth $360 million thanks to his invention, the Super Soaker water gun. How many of you play with the water gun? Just think, an idea like the water gun created $360 million empire. Now how about John Paul DeLoria? He's worth $4 billion thanks to his Paul Mitchell line of shampoos. I'm talking shampoos, family. $4 billion. Michael Flatley is worth $300 million thanks to the Riverdance. Yes, that's right. The Riverdance, the Irish line dancing that was a huge success in the 90s, made Michael Flatley a millionaire 300 times. Wow. Gabe Newell is worth $1.5 billion thanks to his video game company. Valve Corporation would create titles like Half-Life, Counter-Strike, and Portal. Do you have the next video game, the next dance, the next shampoo? Or are you like S. Troy Cathy, who was worth $6.6 billion thanks to the fast food restaurant Chick-fil-A, and he died September 2014, family, $0.6 billion. Can you imagine creating an idea, the salsa, a Dow, the circus, weight loss products, sales, a Stanford professor, all created, had an idea, energy drinks. If they can do it, you can do it. You tuned in to the Lifestyle of the Rich, and now for So Fabulous. Master Kip had a blog he wrote the other day. He said he remembered in his early days when he had so many ideas, so many dreams, and so many wishes that he wanted to come true. He said, I had 1,000 ideas, but nothing to show for it. And deep down, I was angry because I knew I had something that I could give to the world. And not just one thing, but lots of things. Teachings, inspiration, stories, experiences, love, ideas, innovation, connection. These are the ideas that bored within me, but nothing came through. It was like I was creatively clogged up. And I can remember living in a neighborhood east of Hollywood, California. It was a spot full of all kinds of artists, visual artists, musicians, and designers. My business partner was a designer and musician. I envied his ability to create when I was too scared. You see, we made a great team because I was so good at the business side and he rocked the creative side. But you see, my life came crashing down and it forced me to make a choice, embrace my own creativity or die. Embrace my own creativity or die. And I think in the end, that's why my life fell apart. You see, my soul wanted to create. You see, my heart had a deep longing to manifest. You see, but I wasn't taking action on that deep desire and enter into a crisis, a.k.a. a divine storm. It all came crashing down. A few years later, it would all come back and more, not by my efforts or someone else's creativity, but by my own creativity. You see, there was a time in my life when I would have said, I'm not creative, I'm not a writer, I'm not a storyteller, I'm not an entrepreneur, but the truth is that I am. And I was scared to death to admit it. And not being able to admit it ruined my life for a period of time. You see, life brought me to my knees. You see, it had me begging. Y'all remember the Lattimore song? That's what it reminds me of. He said, when he had to go down to the church and he got down on his knees and he cried, Lord, Lord, have mercy on your child. Lord, have mercy. I'm in misery, he said. And it brought me to my knees so that I could get a chance to wake up to an undeveloped part of myself that was dormant. An unexpressed artist is a sad and angry sight, but I got a chance to express myself. You see, I got a chance to turn it around. It wasn't easy or pretty. It was by the grace of the divine that made it happen. Are you an unexpressed artist? Are you holding back? Are you scared to death to be creative? What are you ready to admit? Remember, we have to get out there and take action and make it real. So, Master leaves us with these words on how to find your life purpose. He said, because when you live in your dreams, when you live in the dream that you came to the planet to do, there's something super in the unnatural world that happens. He said, and if you think about it, there's a common structure to living our dream, to expanding beyond what's comfortable and living on purpose is actually pretty simple. And when we start to recognize this pattern, it makes it super simple, but still not easy. You see, to begin to live on purpose and to live your bliss is what life is all about. And this is what I had to figure out over the last 10 years, he said, of trying to find the answer to what makes us, what really just makes me happy, and how to get on track and in alignment with my gifts or purpose. Come on, family. Somebody knows. You see, the first thing I had to think about was think back about all my happy memories. I had to think back to my childhood and my teenage years. Remember the first time you felt romantic love, and remember the first time something big happened. Finally, think back and find your most recent memory. So I'm going to say this again, because he said this is the first step to finding your purpose, is to think back about your happy memories, to think back to your childhood and your teenage years, to remember the first time you felt that romantic love, and remember the first time something big happened. Finally, think back and find your most recent happy memory. Now, I want you to look for the common thread in these memories. Who was there? Why were you happy? What emotions were you feeling? And did you feel a sense of connection, joy, happiness, belonging, freedom, and peace? I want you to try to see the common emotions that span all of your happy memories. There's information in there that is vital to finding your purpose. For me, once I look back over my happy memories, I saw that having a sense of belonging was huge for me. And when I feel like I belong and when I feel seen, I light up like a Christmas tree, because I use this information and saw that I am the happiest, most alive and thriving when I feel like I belong and when I feel seen, he said. But since living on purpose and giving your gift is not about just you being happy, but also sharing your gift, I had to hone in on my purpose over time. To be seen, my purpose is to create circumstances, environments, businesses, communities where I am fully expressing my creative gifts with the intention to inspire other people to feel like they belong, first to themselves and to a group that shares their common interests. You see, when I read that and when I see these words, my heart sings. And that's the clue to know that it's real for me. So what are the common threads in your past happy memories that you can tie together to find your purpose? He says, seek that. Now, here comes the hard part. I'm going to break down the live your life on purpose pattern that I found, according to Master Kemp. This is him speaking, not me. Somebody said, I read like it's my words, so I just want to reiterate, these are not Janine's words, these are Master's words. He said, find your purpose by excavating and tying together the common threads of your happy memories by focusing on the emotions you felt. Construct a sentence or two that allows you to give your gifts to yourself and others. And remember, purpose is shared with others. Remember, a gift is not a gift, it's given away. Find your purpose by excavating and tying together the common threads of your happy memories by focusing on the emotions you felt. And then construct a sentence or two that allows you to give your gifts to yourself and others. And remember, purpose is shared with others. A gift is not a gift until you give it away. That's my Janine Ingram quote for today. I will be quick tweeting that. That's always something that I always thought. Those are my words. A gift is not a gift until you give it away. He said, too, begin to take action on your new purpose one step at a time. He said, know that all the limiting beliefs from your family, from your friends, from your fears in the world will begin to come up once you start to take action. He said, but move through them anyway. Be afraid and do it anyway. Face your fears, because this is a part of the process where you begin to grow as an individual into who you were meant to be by challenging all these limited beliefs and fears. Come on now. He says, step into giving. Purpose is about cultivating something within you and then giving it away to other people. We don't live abundant and happy lives in isolation or by being takers. So by giving away your purpose to others, you will find that others will want to give to you too. Come on, y'all. Somebody ought to say amen. I just stopped by the Love Journey to remind you it's about stepping into your giving. Purpose is about cultivating something within you then giving it away to other people, because we don't live an abundant and happy lives in isolation or by being takers. So by giving away your purpose to others, you'll find that others will want to give to you too. Live by faith and not by sight. You see, living your purpose will require a huge amount of faith, a huge amount of courage, tenacity, and perseverance. I had to couch for almost 2 years and go on a very little money to get started in my life, but I was always taken care of. You see, I had to trust that the universe knows my bills. I had to trust that it knows that I needed to eat, and I had to trust that it knows my heart much better than even I did. So keep facing your fears and living in the beliefs daily. I'm going to say this one more time. You see, we have to live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not by sight. You see, living your purpose will require a huge amount of faith, courage, tenacity, and perseverance. See, I had to couch surf for almost 2 years and go on a very little money diet to get started, but I was always taken care of. You see, the universe was friendly to my desires, but I had to trust that the universe knew my bills. I had to trust that it knew that I needed to eat. I had to trust that it knew my heart much better than I did, so I had to keep facing my fears and limiting beliefs daily. I had to keep facing my fears and my limiting beliefs daily. Somebody know what I'm talking about. 6, hang with people who support and uplift you. I always said it's important to take advice from people who have what you want, because otherwise people are just guessing. Who you hang with is who you become, so start hanging with people who support and uplift you. 7, prepare for the haters. Prepare for the dollars. But one way to know you are really on track is when people begin to doubt or hate what you are doing. It's a natural part of the process. Don't see haters as a reason to give up. Don't see haters as a reason to give up. Instead, see them as a sign that you're starting to become even more successful. He said, 8, repeat these steps. You see, your purpose will constantly get refined. Come on, let me say that again. Somebody ought to hear that. I stopped by the Love Journey to remind you today, your purpose will constantly get refined. Your limiting beliefs and fears will always come up. Repeat and dive deeper. Repeat and dive deeper. This will allow you to stay on track. You see, living on purpose is a lifestyle, a way of being, a lifelong spiritual practice that will refine your soul. This isn't a 10-day or 30-day plan. This is a lifelong adventure. Let me say that again. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. You see, you got to repeat these steps. Your purpose will constantly get refined. You see, your limiting beliefs and fears will always come up, but you got to repeat and dive deeper, repeat and dive deeper. This would allow you to stay on track. See, living on purpose is a lifestyle. It's a way of being, a lifelong spiritual practice that will refine your soul. This isn't a 10-day or a 30-day plan. This is a lifelong adventure. This pattern that I laid out came from my own life experiences and also through helping others discover and live their purpose. I hope that it gave you some guidance on how to, where to go next. It may not be a perfect process, but it was one that worked for many people, and my great hope is that it works for you too. So what's your purpose? What's your next great idea? So you'll be one of those featured on the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous. What idea that you can come up with today to share your gifts with the world? You know, you only get one life to live each time, so why not live it to the fullest? Why not play full out? You know, we don't really think about this rat race we get in when we not live it on purpose. You know? How do we get out that rat race? This whole lifestyle of the rich and not so famous is about is to really think about what idea, what next great idea do you have to manifest your millions with 83 days left in 2016? What ideas do you have? If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please dial 6 on the Love Journey teleconference. And if you want to bring in on Blog Talk, just press the 1 and let me know that you want to come in and say some words. Other than that, you've been tuned in to the Love Journey on another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. All right, family. Well, let's listen to Steve Harvey tell us to stay on Faith Street as we begin to end our episode of The Lifestyle of Not So Rich. I mean, The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life really is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, to dream and live your God-sized dream. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram, and this was another episode of The Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by, because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he can fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
You tune in to the Love Journey. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God. I love that.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism. To never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long, it seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop, waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain, and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to, and I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, in a backpack full of fear, nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears. My child, don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I've walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh at you, laugh you right out of their classrooms, and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse. through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer. You are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Wow.
Show me how deep is your love.